Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's like going into Wisconsin.
Well, I got the kicked out of me in Wisconsin once. Forget it.
Snap count on my mind, Romo hand on my butt. I'm the center, and that's what's up.
Yeah.
I touch the ball on every play. And if you see me coming at you, it's time to pray. I got a big beard and a real mean streak. In the bedroom, I'm a super freak. I once ate a whole honey-baked ham. Ask a DT who the f*** I am. My name is Frederick. Yeah. Travis Frederick. My name is Frederick. Yeah. Travis Frederick.
Yes, thanks to our friends at Dr. Pepper, the one you crave, and Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. It's time for our favorite interview of the week. The great Travis Frederick in person at the Star. How you doing, Travis?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are doing exceedingly well. And it was funny. I was prepping for the show today. I had the NFL Network on. And Travis Frederick News was scrolling across the bottom of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were showing video of you on the sideline. And, you know,
it's really good B-roll.
It's a B-roll, Travis Frederick. Is it, you know, they're like, oh, wow, they had a camera fixed on Travis the whole game.
Trav cam.
And then I'm looking on social media and I see there's some Travis Frederick News there, too. And so I guess this all came from last night, the Miller Lite Cowboy Hour with Taylor Stern, Brad Sham, and Jeff Cavanaugh.
Right you here and, on 105.3 The Fan.
That's right. You and Zach were on. And so things came of that. Number one, Travis Frederick is not going to return this season, which I was like, why is that breaking news? I felt like we kind of knew that this year wasn't happening, but it was breaking news, I guess, and sure. It became a story in the NFL. And then the other thing was on social media, talk about next season. So I'd just like to catch up. I didn't get to hear last night and get comments on both.
Yeah, so last night I said that I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to play this year,
okay.
But I feel really good about my chance of playing next year.
Okay.
So neither of those things are what you said.
Right.
I'm not playing this year, and I'm for sure able to play next year.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's about where we're at.
Travis, your comment on what Ben said.
But the B-roll, though.
I think that Ben did a great job digging up and looking up the sources and getting the exact quotes to report today. No, it's been an interesting year, obviously. And we've gotten to the point in the year where I am not quite to the point where I would need to be to be able to get myself in the right condition to be able to play. And it's not like I've just been sitting around doing nothing, which is absolutely not the case. I've been lifting since. So I was diagnosed 1 week. I got the treatments for the next 5 days. The next week, I didn't stop lifting. I immediately went back into the weight room and was doing some like machine, very controlled stuff to make sure that I was still able to do those movements. And that following week, I went back into a 4-day-a-week off-season program. And those weights were significantly reduced. Obviously, it was what I could do. And I was just, at that point, I was trying to take advantage of anything that my body would let me do. Turns out, for about 2 months there, I was treading water, is the best way I can put it, where I wasn't making any gains. I was just trying to hold on to what was left and trying to prevent my muscles from suffering any more atrophy than they already would have. And it was about by week or so when things started to turn and things started to get a little bit better. And they still do continue to improve. But the problem is I haven't been able to run or anything like that. And so when you do that, it's going to be probably 6 or 8 weeks worth of conditioning type work and reacclimatization work to be able to go out and play. If I spent 2 weeks getting ready for the season and then jumped in there, I could definitely suffer an injury, you know, not only to one of my joints, but it, you know, you talk about muscle strains, tears, you know, things like that. And we don't want that to happen.
Travis, you've gotten a good look at me. I mean, I'm 47 and even in my peak shape was never particularly strong. Did it ever drop off to the point where I could outlift you at the age of 47?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It got to the point where I couldn't open a water bottle.
Wow. And so how far removed are you from that now?
I'm significantly removed. The part of the reason that things – we didn't know at the beginning when the recovery was going to happen and how quickly it was going to happen. But right away, right after the treatment, things got really significantly better comparatively to where I was in
right.
the, like first week. And so that's why there was a little bit of hope. Well, if it keeps going at this pace,
right.
maybe, you know, a couple mm-hmm. weeks, you know, maybe a month or whatever, I'll be able to come back. And that definitely tailed off. But being able to open the water bottle and that kind of stuff came back pretty quickly. But it wasn't really until about bye week, maybe the week before, when things started to stabilize. My hips could stabilize my walking and things. I was never able to not walk,
mm-hmm.
But I was not able to walk for long distances. There was times where by the end of the day, coming home from work, walking from my car, or from the building to my car, was a struggle, you know, trying to get all the way out there. So I'm definitely past that and moving around well and things like that. But it was pretty bad there for a minute. Mm-hmm.
I just have so much respect for the way you've handled all this, because you've never once, I haven't seen you feel sorry for yourself. You've always had a real positive, cheerful attitude. And that's one of the reasons, like, when we hear this stuff, we're like, what? Because we're joking around with you the whole time.
That day you shoved me, I almost fell out.
Hey, Travis, watch these stairs.
But, you know, I'm curious about your mindset and all this. I mean, I think it says a lot about your character, the way you've handled all this adversity. What's been your approach?
I think for me, it's just I got super lucky. This is a disease that can be really, really bad, deadly if not caught. And I caught it relatively early. Mine was a slow-moving case. These were the things I said from the beginning. I had it for about 4 weeks before I got treated, and usually the disease has run its full course within 3 weeks.
Wow.
And so mine, I think based on my trajectory, another week, I probably wouldn't have been able to walk. But that meant that mine was a 5 or 6 week run instead of 3 weeks. So I got lucky there, and the fact that I was around doctors literally every day mm-hmm. in California and got a chance to see one of the best neurologists in the nation coming back here in Dallas, I was able to jump on that stuff pretty quickly. And so I was lucky the whole time that was the case, that we were on top of it. And the fact that I still get to be around the team and hopefully be imparting some wisdom or some knowledge or emotional support for them makes me feel useful and makes me feel like I'm still at least a little bit a part of what's going on. And I've received so much support, not only from the fans and the organization, but my teammates really have rallied around me. The fact that the guys in my group will still at least pretend to listen to me when I tell them something. I wouldn't if I was them. I'd be sick of me. But they've been awesome, and it's been really nice them allowing me to be around.
You've sort of, during this process, kind of quasi-dabbled in coaching, right, in terms of a mm-hmm. role, at least yeah. kind of seen what that world is like. Has it changed?
Player/coaching.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely not coaching.
Yeah, right, but you yeah. kind of, you're interacting in that in a different way, is
right,
what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So has it in any way changed your perception of what post-career Travis might be doing?
It hasn't. I think it's probably reaffirmed it mm-hmm. More so than anything. I really have enjoyed it for not being able to play. This is probably the next best thing, you know, that can kind of keep me involved. And I've been able to do what I can, but I have the perfect coaching role in that I come in at the normal time, I spend the day with the guys, I give them what I've learned in the past or give them any experience that I have, and then at 4:15 or 4:30, whenever the day's done, I go home. And the rest of the coaches stay here
right.
until,
right.
you know, they have that 9 o'clock meeting, and then they have to stay and prepare for the meeting in the morning, so it's 10, 11, sometimes 12. And I get to go home and spend time with the
yeah.
family. And I don't know how they do it, and I don't know how their families do it. But I know that they receive a lot of support at home.
That's where you tell Colombo, hey, man, I'm a player. Yeah. I got to go 4:30.
See you, Colombo.
Okay. So the KNC Masterpiece last night, we're coming out with a topic that I just was – that really caught KT and I off guard. And we were engrossed in it. You had left to go to the mm-hmm. Mavs game, Skin. But I thought we could talk to you about it. They were ranking the best sandwiches, and they were really just not even powering.
Top three.
Yeah. And I thought maybe we could have you power rank the best sandwiches.
Yeah. Is this a top three thing?
Well, let's find out what Shippy has in mind.
Oh, I can't wait to see Shippy again.
Music number four.
Okay, number four. Let's see. I think number four is peanut butter and banana.
Oh, who saw that coming?
Only Elvis.
I think it's a nice taste. The sweet and salty go really well together.
Uh-oh.
I know you get that from jelly, but or jam. I prefer jam to jelly, but I think it's got a really unique texture, and I think that's really important in sandwiches.
You put honey on that hoe?
On occasion, I've been known to dabble some honey on that.
Because I've heard of a peanut butter banana and honey joint.
Yeah. Toasted bread or just regular bread?
I like regular bread, regular white bread.
Wow.
I know it's not the healthiest thing for you.
But you're not. But you won't toast it. You don't like the texture.
I think toasting has a really good place in sandwiches, just not with that particular
okay.
sandwich.
All right, we'll see. This is a bad start for your list. We'll see what else you have.
Why is that a bad start?
I think we all know.
Sweet and salty thing.
Number three, there's a sandwich shop back where I went to school in Madison that produced a sandwich called the Bobby. And this sandwich was a Thanksgiving meal on bread.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so it's got the turkey and the stuffing and cranberry sauce all on this bread. No gravy, unfortunately.
Who was the shot? Because somebody did that in town. I can't remember who it was.
I think Bobby. It's a national chain. Actually.
Yeah, it's a national chain that does the Bobby. Right. And I'm blanking on who it is.
I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Off that's the top great. Of my head.
Good call.
We'll accept this.
It's a really good sandwich.
Wow. You totally made up for the number four mistake.
Yeah, really redeemed yourself.
It wasn't a mistake at all.
There's two more for you to screw.
Okay, thanks.
Fan of Thanksgiving spread.
My number two sandwich is, I get this when I go down south, I go fishing. It's a Cuban sandwich, but not a hot Cuban. It's a Cuban sandwich on like a, it's kind of not really a hoagie roll. It's kind of a harder, but it's.
Like a Hawaiian roll?
It's not a Hawaiian roll. It's like a submarine roll, if you will, mm-hmm. but it's, I think hoagie is a little softer.
Yeah.
It's okay. like a firm, maybe it's French bread.
Yeah, that sounds right.
A baguette.
Yeah. No, it's not a baguette.
Yeah, KT, what are you saying?
KT. I don't know exactly what it is, but boar's head meat, and they put all the layers of the meat on there and the cheese.
I still don't have a good feel for what kind of sandwiches.
It's got like some bread and
a brick bread and meat.
Cuban, can you look that up? It's got...
it's not a Cubano.
No, I don't think... I think it's the Cuban sandwich.
What are the meats?
Cuban like sandwich, it says it's a variation of a ham and cheese sandwich.
Yeah. The Cubano.
It's got something else on there.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm just going off the Wikipedia definition.
Oh, I'll go there.
Ham, roasted pork, yes. Swiss cheese, pickles, mustard.
Yeah,
pickles and mustard.
Sometimes
and
mustard. Salami on Cuban bread.
Salami. It's got this one's definitely got salami, and it's Cuban bread. That's what.
Wow. Okay. This has gone downhill fast. So let's see if you can save it with this one.
Number one, my favorite sandwich is a pastrami Reuben.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, yeah,
that's solid.
Yeah. Now I don't know the difference between pastrami and corned beef. I know that one's Italian and one is probably.
You don't know the difference?
I know. I don't know much about corned meat. Cured meats. I do better with cheeses. But they do pair well together.
Yeah.
But I just the sauerkraut on there. Sauerkraut wasn't a taste that came along for me as a kid. I didn't really like that, but
right.
when you put some sauerkraut on a brat, it really sets it off. And I think that the addition of that not only adds some texture to it with that toasted rye bread, but a great flavor along with that
wow.
Swiss.
That's
Thousand Island.
Well, go ahead.
Oh. I would love for him to try the pastrami sandwich at Luck.
Oh yes,
I think that's he would really love that.
What about no love for the Monte Cristo?
No love for
the fried sandwich, dude.
The whole sandwich
is fried? The whole sandwich is fried with powdered sugar on it.
Oh, my goodness.
I remember when he was running the defense back in the day.
Mm-hmm. I did, too. That was fun.
You've got to try the local spicy cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
Have you tried the local spicy cowboy?
I have not tried the local spicy cowboy. I do. On Fridays, we have a sandwich here that's brought in, or the rookie goes to grab it for us. It's called the Stub Sandwich.
Oh, yes.
This is a tradition dating back to a very long time. I had to bring him in when I was a rookie.
And, yeah.
It's a great thing for a Friday right before practice. Yeah. You get some good grease in your stomach.
Oh, nice.
You
know? Yeah, that's great.
So that's really gets you going. On draft day, they go and they have a big breakfast sandwich thing that
Who's
they do.
They?
It's a stub sandwich.
The Illuminati.
And the Cowboys, they bring it in here.
Do they really?
So on Saturday morning of draft day after you've had a big – or on Friday or whatever. Or no, it's Saturday. Yeah, for day three. To get you ready for day three, you get the big stub sandwich in the morning of the draft.
It really gives you a base for the day.
You know what's great, dude? A fried egg sandwich with cheddar cheese and Miracle Whip on toast.
Oh, my God. Miracle Whip?
Do you put any meat
Miracle
in that?
Whip. That's reckless.
That is reckless.
Because, I don't eat pork, most breakfast meat is pork, right?
Yeah.
I think we should get on that. We should make some sausage maybe out of beef. Do they
turkey sausage is usually pretty good.
Yeah.
Beef sausage is money.
You like birds?
Travis, not a very good list, but like a fantastic interview.
Have you ever had a po' boy?
That's a fantastic. What'd you say, Shippy?
Have you ever had a po' boy?
Shippy. I have had a po' boy. Where are you from, Shippy?
Dallas.
Okay.
He's from Plano. So
are the Plano po' boys like really impressive? Or?
A Plano po' boy etouffee.
No, okay. I never had one. I was going to see if I should try it.
Oh, no. Po' boys. Po' boys are delicious, but they rank much farther down the list.
Travis, do us a favor. We're about to talk some Mavs. We're about to talk some Mavs basketball.
Sure.
And would you mind teasing forward to the next segment, you know, talking about last night's game and whatever you want to preview?
I tell you what, last night's game was... it was a game. And, you know, I just can't wait for Dirk to come back because he's one of my favorite humans. I know he's a favorite of the show, but I've gotten to know Dirk a little bit more in the last year. And what a fantastic
human. You're
doing
the segment now?
And, yeah. Oh, man.
Can you tease it?
Oh, the segment.
Yeah.
I have your paper. Let's see what the paper says. Okay. Coming up next, after another huge win, we're going to be talking about the Mavs here on 105.3 The Fan, the Ben and Skin Show, thanks to KT, presented by KT.
And let's talk about the Mavs, fourth set.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.